Hello everybody, it's Sam from Financial Samurai. And you know how sometimes you get some kind of random epiphany and you're like, aha, how come I wasn't aware of that before? Well, this is one of those times where I have this epiphany and I'm thinking, wow, this could actually be really good. So this episode is about how the FIRE movement will narrow the gender pay gap. And let me explain the logic why ardent supporters of equality should embrace the FIRE movement to the fullest. So when I removed myself from full-time work in 2012, my active income pay went from a base salary of $250,000 to zero. I was a diligent worker who would readily work 60 to 70 hours a week to make more money. I was motivated. I wanted to make managing director, but I hit a glass ceiling. You did not want me as a competitor because I would consistently out-hustle my peers. I remember thinking, man, I would work. It didn't matter how much I needed to work. I would do whatever it took to get ahead. So with one less male in the office, the income balance shifted slightly to female earners. If my firm had filled my vacated position with a female worker, then the income balance would have tilted even more towards women in my office. Alas, my firm didn't replace me with a female worker. Instead, it eliminated my position and made my junior male colleague do more of the heavy lifting, just as I suggested during my severance package negotiation. But despite not replacing me with a female worker, the gender pay imbalance still lessened with me out of the equation. My junior male colleague was forced to do more work for less commensurate pay, right? He took on my clients and he covered all my clients as well as his. And I don't think he got more than like a 50% raise when I was probably already making 2x he was making. So take me as a typical example of the FIRE movement, a highly motivated male leaving full-time work during his rising income years and his highest income earning years, probably right in his 40s. Multiply my example by thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, and potentially millions eventually, you get to female gender pay equality or even female pay dominance. The other positive about men truncating their careers for a life of leisure is that family dynamics will change for the better too, because even more responsible men will fire to become stay-at-home dads. Being a stay-at-home parent is one of the most important jobs in the world, right? What is more important than taking care of a helpless little one? But being a stay-at-home parent has so far been dominated by mothers. If you check out the chart in my post, you'll see really interesting data on how women still make up 80% of stay-at-home parents. Now, that is less than the 5 to 6% in the 1970s, but still, that's quite a domination versus men who only make up about 20% of stay-at-home parents. So as a result, women are the ones who've taken the biggest income and career hits because they've exchanged time in the workplace for time taking care of their children. Biologically, this may make sense due to a woman's ability to breastfeed, but from a financial and career perspective, this seems unfair, especially to single mothers who are forced to juggle it all. For example, when my friend Kathy attempted to rejoin the workforce after 8 years of being a stay-at-home mom, she could only find jobs paying her 65% of what she used to get. So clearly, her situation is a hit to gender pay equality. If stay-at-home dads decide to re-enter the workforce years later, they too will face similar hits to income as their industries will have moved on without them. Due to globalization and technology, competition has only intensified over the years. Not only will stay-at-home dads help narrow the gender pay gap, studies have shown there are plenty of other positive benefits of having fathers more present in their children's lives. In the post, you will see a chart about all the positive benefits for children with a father in the home, let alone having a dad who's a full-time dad. So some of the statistics include 4 times likely to be less poor, 35% less likely to be poor than his or her father, 6 times less likely to get pregnant as a teen. In terms of health, 3 times less likely to have an affective disorder, 40% less likely to die in their first year of life, 3 times less likely to have early intercourse, 1/2 as likely to suffer from abuse or neglect, 40% less likely to smoke, drink, or use drugs, 44% less likely to suffer serious injury from abuse, half as likely to drop out of school, 21% more likely to be read aloud to every day, half as likely to have to repeat a grade. So it's clear that having a father in the home is a good idea for children. Now imagine all the benefits if there were more stay-at-home dads. I think this would result in better adjusted children, which in turn could result in a better functioning society in the future. So there's one last proactive step to take. Millions of men truncating their careers and their earnings to be free are important parts of the solution to narrowing the gender pay gap. But that's not enough. Men must also be champions of women. Men must encourage women to work at higher paying jobs in higher paying industries. Men must encourage their partners to fight for pay increases and promotions. And men must also be supportive of women going back to work after having children. Taking time away from work, often uncompensated, to care for children is one of the biggest determinants of an employee's total income and career income. To overcome the shortfall, fathers must step up their fatherly duties. This means more cleaning, more cooking, more playing, more diaper changing, more putting kids to bed, more getting them prepared to go to school, being responsible for making doctor's appointments and playdates, and so much more. By doing so, mothers will be able to rest easier knowing their childcare concerns are being addressed. They can then focus on grinding at work to climb up the corporate ladder and make more money. One reader said in the forums, "As soon as I knew my husband was competent at changing diapers, bottle feeding, and performing the Heimlich maneuver, I felt better about going back to work." Another woman told me, "I could not get over my guilt of leaving my precious baby in the hands of a stranger, no matter how caring or experienced that stranger seemed. When my husband decided to put his career on pause for a year so I could pursue my career, my guilt declined drastically. I trust my husband more than anybody in the world, and I was able to go back to work with confidence." So both of us have to be on board, both mothers and fathers. And although I wrote a post called "How to Get Your Spouse to Go Back to Work After Having a Baby," I'm honestly having a difficult time convincing my wife to do exactly that. Our boy has gotten into our neighborhood preschool, thank goodness, and can start in several months. Despite having plenty of time to mentally prepare for full-time work again, my wife still has zero desire to commute to a job that brings her less joy than spending time with our son. And even though I'm the driver in the household, who'll drop off and pick him up, and even though our boy will be away from home for 4 to 7 hours a day, if we choose to send him, she'd much rather spend time working on Financial Samurai instead of working for somebody else. And that's logical. Once you've become accustomed to a certain lifestyle, it's hard to change. Change is so hard. Oh my goodness. Therefore, for those mothers who are really, really passionate about narrowing the gender wage gap, I think it's important for you to get back to work soonest and to work as hard and as long as possible to make the most money possible. It does sound a little bit cruel, but again, if we're focused on gender pay equality, this is a very, very important part of the equation. The combination of more men leaving the workforce early and more mothers going back to work will ultimately make income equality a reality. In my opinion, once the ratio of stay-at-home moms to stay-at-home dads equals 50-50, we will have 100% gender pay parity. Without the FIRE movement, the lines from the chart above in the post will probably intersect in the year 2070. With the FIRE movement, I can see gender pay parity by the year 2040. So let's do this, folks. Together, I think we can.